So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. In a Calvin and Hobbes comic strip, Calvin is standing by his mother's bed when he says, "Hey, Mum, wake up. I've made you a Mother's Day card." His mother was very pleased and started to read it out loud. "I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small. So I guess you're lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day." There, he said, "now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son?" For those of us who have had children or had young ones around about us, sometimes it's not always easy to be a mum or a dad or an auntie or an uncle or a granny or a grandpa. Sometimes it's hard to bring up the children in the way we would want them to be brought up. This is Mothering Sunday. The fourth Sunday in Lent is always set apart as Mothering Sunday. And although we may not have children of our own, we have all had a mum. Else we wouldn't be here this morning. In today's reading, we heard of a particular woman, a woman called Hannah, who couldn't bear children. And we heard in the passage that the Lord had closed her womb. There was another woman, Peninnah, the other wife, and she had children. And she made fun of Hannah and hurt her deeply. Hannah went to the temple and prayed to God, and the priest thought she was drunk. But Hannah's prayer was very real, and she made a promise to God that if only he would give her a child, a son, she would dedicate him to God as a servant. Quite an amazing promise for this woman to make. And we can learn a number of things from her, this incredible woman of faith. Hannah had problems that were real. And sometimes when we're reading the scripture, we read of the great heroes of the Bible, and sometimes we think they're different to us. We find it hard sometimes to relate to them because they are such faithful people. But actually, as you go through the Bible, you find it is filled with real people in real situations with real problems, the same kinds of problems that we might encounter ourselves in our daily walk with the Lord, and people who face these problems with faith. Hannah was desperate to have a child. And I don't know what that feels like, but certainly over the years I've listened to people, listened to women, listened to couples who just are longing for a baby. But for some reason, it just isn't happening. I can remember my sister-in-law and brother-in-law were in that situation. They had been trying and trying and trying for years to have a child. They went through all sorts of different treatments, but nothing seemed to work. And they were childless, and it was painful for them in the midst of a family where there were lots of children. Hannah experienced this problem for herself, and she was deeply hurt, deeply grieving, deeply wounded at the fact that she could not have a child. But she went looking for God in the temple. She expressed her hopes in prayer, and she waited for God to answer her prayers. And it's a true fact that sometimes God uses our difficulties, uses our problems to get our attention, to make us focus on Him, to come to Him in prayer, to spend time listening for what He has to say. As I was reading this passage this week, I was thinking about another mother in the Bible, the mother of Moses, who had a son, but at that time a decree went out that any baby boys were not to be left alive, only the girls. And so she hit upon a plan. She placed her young son in a basket and put him off into the river, not knowing what would happen, but praying and really hoping that the child would be saved. She had a problem, and she had a plan of action. And we know how the story unfolds, because Pharaoh's daughter came to the water. She saw the child in the basket, and he was drawn out. And Moses' sister was there, and she was able to say to the princess, "Shall I go and find someone who can care for this child?" And so Moses' mother was able to go and look after her son, and she was paid an amount of money to do it. And so God's plan was even greater than the hopes that she had on that particular morning as she set her son off into the water. God had a plan for Moses' life, and God had a plan for Hannah's life. She got up, she went to the temple, she worshipped before the Lord, and then she and her husband went back home. A short time later, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she called him Samuel. And in the Hebrew, that means, "God hears my prayers." And so every time she called Samuel, she was reminded that God provides, that God answers prayers. After Samuel was born, Elkanah went up again to Shiloh in order to worship, but Hannah decided not to go until Samuel was weaned. That would have been around the age of 3 years old. And she dedicated herself to bringing up her child, nursing him and nurturing him, knowing that the day would come when he was able to eat by himself. She would take him and present him before the Lord, and he would live there forever in the temple. How many times have we made promises to God only to forget them when that time passes? Not so with Hannah. She fully intended to keep her promise, because she knew that Samuel didn't really belong to her anyway. Hannah not only dedicated herself to her child, but she dedicated her child to the Lord. And then came the day when she took him up and left him in the temple. You might think she would be sad. You might think she would be devastated, but she wasn't. In the next chapter is a beautiful hymn of praise. Hannah sings, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you, no rock like our God." I think it must be one of the most difficult experiences of a parent to have to let their child go. If we have children, we know that the time comes when they are going to grow and leave home, go to college or university, or move into their own place to stay. And sometimes there's a wee tug at the heartstrings as we wonder, have we been a good enough parent to see them living out their lives and independence? Sometimes more difficult experiences come to parents. If a relationship breaks down, for instance, sometimes one parent gets custody of the children. And that can be a heartbreaking time as the family don't get to see each other as much as they would like. In our Lenten studies down at Brayhead House, we've been walking with Abraham, looking at all the different experiences he had in his life. And God had promised Abraham that he would have a son. And so his son was born. And this week we're going to look at what happens when God asks him to sacrifice his son. Abraham, a man of faith and trust and obedience, is prepared to do just that. But praise God, at the last moment, God provides a way out, and Abraham and his son can go back and live out their lives. Hannah takes her son to the temple to serve the priest, but there's no sadness in her voice as she returns Samuel to God. She sings a hymn of praise. And Samuel will begin his life in the temple and will eventually be a great leader, a servant of God. Hannah is an example of a woman of incredible faith. She is someone that we can look to, someone who, in times of difficulty, prayed and trusted that God would answer her prayer. She made a promise to her Lord, and she kept her promise, offering the boy back to him. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law were never able to have their own children, but they opened up their hearts eventually and adopted twin boys and a girl. Twin boys who were 11 and a wee girl who was 10, who had been living in a very difficult situation at home and had eventually been taken into care and given over for adoption. And that was the beginning of a roller coaster ride for that couple, because these children had been so badly damaged, so wounded in their young lives, that it took a long, long time, years and years and years, for them to settle in their new home and to realize that this man and this woman were going to love them and love them and love them no matter how they behaved. And they did. And these children grew and are now just the most wonderful adults, living their lives, able to love other people, and have their own children now, all because they were precious to those who had adopted them. Children are precious to us. Every little person who comes in through the door of this sanctuary is a precious son and daughter. And we should cherish them and we should love them. Every time a child comes for baptism, those who bring the children make promises that they will bring the child up to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the congregation also makes promises. We promise that we too will nurture these children, bring them up so that they know that they are loved in the church family, that they are loved by their Father God, and that each one of them in turn will be able to live out their lives in love. Today can be a tricky time for folks, this particular Sunday. It's also my eldest daughter's 46th birthday. And I've been trying to phone her this morning, but she's not answering the phone. And she's had a difficult time since she was 16, a time of severe depression at times. And there are times when she wants to be with the family, and there are times like just now where she just shuts down. And if we could go to her door today and knock the door, she wouldn't answer. If we phone her, she won't answer. She won't get in touch until she comes out of this place that she's in. And over the years, the family, her dad and I and her sisters, have just had to try to manage every situation that comes along. And the thing that's comforted us the most over the years is the fact that in the times when she doesn't want to be in touch with her own family, she has always allowed the church family to tend to her and care for her. And so while we wait for this season to pass, we know that she's okay because the church family are able to tend to her and look after her. Such a privilege to be part of the body of Christ. So important that we know where we belong. We belong to the Lord, and we belong to one another. So keep loving these children who are in your midst. Keep encouraging them in their walk with the Lord. It's really important. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the story of Hannah, a woman of faith, a woman who prayed and prayed, and a woman whose prayers were answered, a woman who dedicated her son to the Lord. What an amazing person she was. Father, help us to be men and women of faith, that we might tend to the young people in our charge and to those outside this congregation who have yet to come to know the Lord. Let us always be willing to smile and give a word of encouragement to all the children that we meet. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.